This is the Microsoft Cloud Show, episode 26, where CJ and I are going to interview Bill Baer from the Microsoft Office 365 team and have a discussion around identity in Office 365 and hybrid solutions. Welcome to the Microsoft Cloud Show, the only place to stay up to date on everything going on in the Microsoft Cloud world, including Windows Azure, Office 365, SharePoint, Exchange, Link, and related technologies. Just the information, no marketing, no BS. I'm Andrew Connell.
And I'm Chris Johnson.
And we're just two dudes telling you how we see it. Good day, CJ. How you doing today?
Good, my friend. Good. How are things?
It's been a very packed week for me this week. Last week I was in Los Angeles, came straight to Las Vegas, and just wrapped up a conference that I was attending for the first 2 days. So tons of stuff to go through and to research and all this junk, and then turn around and go home for just 2 or 3 days, and then head straight back over to SP TechCon over in San Francisco next week. So the midst of a 3 week road trip.
Yeah, I was very jealous of your trip last week. It sounds like, you know, you're a real voyager on your endeavors.
Yeah, it was wicked cool. I taught a private SharePoint 2013 app dev class for critical path training for the Jet Propulsion Lab, NASA's Jet Propulsion Lab in Pasadena, and got to tour the facility, got to see two satellites that are getting ready to be sent up, got to see the future Mars rover and the new way that they're going to try and decelerate the bigger Mars landing ships. And then before I left, got to go see the Shuttle Endeavor on display down at the California Science Center, right next to LAX. So it was a royal geek fest. And that was capped, or I don't know if it was supplanted or whatever you want to call it, that was surpassed by when I got to Vegas. I got to Vegas on Saturday, and Sunday morning got up, went out to the racetrack, and got to drive 7 laps in a Ferrari 458, got it up to $135 four times. So that was a hell of a lot of fun.
Nice, nice. That sounds like a great, well, you're just topping one thing with the next, you know. Although, to be fair, I think my favorite part of all of what you did would have been Endeavor.
It was pretty cool. And it's a great display, although they're redoing it, and they're going to make a whole building just for Endeavor. They're going to put the boosters on, the external fuel tank, stand the thing up, and have this big structure right next to it indoors that you can go up and you can see it. You can even get above the shuttle and look down over the shuttle, get right up next to the fuel tank.
Nice.
But that's a couple years off. The one right now that they have, you can walk right up underneath it. And I think the bottom of it is probably about 20. It's maybe like 15 to 20 feet off the ground. So it was so close you could read the serial numbers and all the tiles up underneath. It was wicked cool.
That is so geeky and cool. I love it.
Yeah, definitely.
Jealous. Super jealous.
How about you? What you been up to?
I got in my final little bit of skiing this last weekend. So I went up to Whistler and geeked out with the boys up there. And it was nice. Nice bit of spring skiing for me. So I came back a broken, broken man. So I've been trying to sit for pretty much all this week.
So I see we've both been working very hard, it sounds like.
Oh, well, just working hard from stationary position, of course.
Oh, there you go. Exactly.
Oh, God, I was so broken. Anyway. Yeah, no, so that's what I've been up to.
Yeah, well, today we've got ourselves a nice little treat of a show. We don't do many interviews on the show. I think we've done maybe one or two official show interviews, but we're doing another one today. And so today we have joining us Bill Baer. So how are you doing today, Bill?
I am doing great, despite the time.
I'm trying this out for the first time of recording this over on the West Coast. I'm used to, usually it's nice 11 o'clock, and I'm the one that's had about 5 or 6 cups of coffee before CJ jumps on, and I'm the one that's wired. So I'm feeling your pain this morning.
So why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself, Bill, and tell folks a little bit about yourself. We've obviously all known each other for quite a while, but some of our listeners may not be so intimately aware of what you do and who you work for and that sort of thing.
Sure. So quick intro. I'm Bill Baer. I'm a product manager here in our SharePoint product group in Redmond. My focus on a day-to-day basis is largely in the space of both hybrid and migration in context of SharePoint and Office 365, inclusive of features such as search, business connectivity services, Duet for enterprise, OneDrive for business, Yammer integration, and all of the coexistence capabilities that we're delivering now and through the future.
Right, so just a couple of things then.
Just a handful.
Yeah, you sound quite lazy.
So actually, we work in the same building on campus, so we see each other around a little bit, but you've been fairly busy this year. What have you been up to?
Well, I think if you look at this year so far, I mean, it started actually way back in October, getting ready for the SharePoint conference, and you've been involved in that, and you know what an endeavor it is to land a conference of that size and scope. So that ate up 6 months of my life, and then I immediately turned around and went back down to Las Vegas last week to do some presentations on Oracle Interop at the Collaborate conference, which is just a international Oracle user group gathering. It's a pretty awesome scene, and it's a change of pace being able to talk about Interop versus hybrid or coexistence. So, you know, it's along the same lines in terms of, you know, the framing of the conversation. It's taking two entities and connecting them together to derive some kind of business value out of them. But in this case, it was Oracle middleware and SharePoint, which
How was that? That's an interesting audience and a little less kind of traditional for, I guess, in the SharePoint world. So how did that go? And did they run you out of the conference center, or were they nice and friendly?
Well, you know, this is the third straight year that we've delivered at a Collaborate conference. So the audience for the most part has come to expect to see some Microsoft sessions and presence. Gotcha. At that conference. And what it is it's under the context of our business critical SharePoint program, where we validate a set of partners who can deliver these interop scenarios for our customers. It's actually a really great program, and it's a really great way to help customers that are traditional Oracle businesses leverage their SharePoint investment.
Gotcha. Ah, that's cool. So today we thought we'd quiz you a little bit about hybrid and identity, which is kind of an area of interest of yours, or an area of focus, I guess, because to give you a little background, for those that have listened to the show for a while will know that AC and I are pretty heavily dev focused, right? So we tend to hesitate or gravitate towards developer related topics. And we've spent a bunch of time on Azure and Office 365 and SharePoint and things. But we thought we'd sort of spice it up with getting a little IT pro-ish. And one of the topics we haven't covered in a great level of detail is around identity and authentication and things. And we thought, what better way to use your time than to get your thoughts on identity and how folks log into Office 365 and what the relationship to between Office 365 and Microsoft Azure AD and things like that. So that's what we thought we'd cover. Is there anything else you want to add to that you think would be we think we should get through today?
No, I think that's a pretty good start, particularly with Azure Directory, and work our way down from there.
Yeah, no, sounds good. So I don't know if everybody knows, but you know, I think we've mentioned it on the show that a couple of times that when you're an Office 365 customer, you sort of behind the scenes, you get an Azure AD sort of as part of that, right? When you create users and so forth, accounts in there or profiles in there are being created and things. But do you want to give a little bit more context to how the two hang together in the grand scheme of things, and how Office 365 uses Azure AD?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, if we start from the bottom and work our way up, We all probably are, or assuming we're all familiar with Azure Active Directory, but basically, if you think about what it is, it's delivered by Azure. It's a comprehensive set of highly available identity and access management solutions in the cloud. So what it does, in effect, is it combines directory services, identity governance, and application access management. So those are all the things that you just talked about: the provisioning of users, the management of those users' identity, properties, metadata, and credentials. If you think about it in context of Office 365, what it does is Azure Active Directory provides that identity management and access control capability for those cloud services, obviously at Office 365. And what it is, at least in the context of Office 365, is it's a cloud-based store for directory data, and it also provides the core set of identity services that Office 365 consumes, or better yet, leverages. So that's user logon processes, authentication services, and federation services. And the beauty of it all is that these identity services that are included in Azure AD, they also integrate with your on-premises Active Directory deployments, and they fully support third-party identity providers. So you can think about Ping and SiteMinder. So not only can you leverage it as your sole or dominant identity provider, it can also be used in conjunction with your on-premises Active Directory, which brings us kind of to the next topic, which is, you know, what does identity look like in the cloud? And there's effectively three levels of identity in the cloud. You have your cloud-based identity, which is effectively is you subscribe to Office 365. Perhaps you don't have a investment in Active Directory on premises, and you want to be able to provision users. So in that case, you would leverage the management portal in Office 365 to actually provision those users or to create those users' identities. So there would be no affinity between those identities that you create in the cloud and any identity that exists on premises. And that's kind of the cloud identity concept.
So if I'm a small business, for example, and I go buy Office 365 and start provisioning accounts, when I go in and add like a, you know, an account for you, an account for AC, and an account for me, what happens behind the scenes and what ends up in Azure AD?
Yeah, so, you know, if you're most people will be able to rationalize what these cloud identities look like, the ones that you describe as something at some domain .onmicrosoft.com. And effectively,
gotcha,
from an Azure Active Directory perspective, what you're doing when you create those users is it's effectively the instantiation of the profile, their password, and then any organizational account related information that you may add to those individual users. So as a global administrator, not only can you provision those accounts, but you can also provide access management to those accounts. So that could be, you know, what level of access do these particular users have as a result of my provisioning of these users. You can add organizational account details to them, such as address and phone number, all of which are stored in Windows Azure AD. So effectively, the way that I have most people look at what Active Directory is, at least Azure Active Directory, is don't try to approach it as a separate implementation of Active Directory. Look at it as Active Directory that resides in the cloud. And then what we've done for you in Office 365 is we've streamlined the provisioning process, the account management processes.
Yeah, I see. So I can go create those accounts. They end up in Azure AD. And then when I go to log in to Office 365, like if I went in to go to a SharePoint site, for example, or something like that, you notice it ends up redirecting a bunch of times. And so it goes off to Azure AD to authenticate that person, then bounces back to wherever you were trying to get to, right?
Right.
Gotcha. So for those businesses that are slightly more, I guess, advanced or slightly more sophisticated with more users, they might have a Active Directory already on premises. What are the options for getting, because you obviously don't want two logins, right? You want to basically have one username and password to get into your stuff wherever you happen to be going. So what are the options around Office 365 and making that happen? Because we hear a lot about like single sign-on and federated authentication and things like that. How does a business go about setting that up and making that happen with Office 365 if they've already got AD on-prem?
All right, and this is one of the most common questions that I deal with, at least in my space, on a day-to-day basis. At Microsoft, most of the customers or organizations that I spend my time with already have an on-premises directory service. And effectively, if you do, in the case that you're speaking of, if you do have an investment in on-premises Active Directory services, you can integrate it with your Azure Active Directory tenant. And what that does is it simplifies, you know, your cloud-based administrative tasks. And then you can also provide your users with a more streamlined sign-in experience. Mm-hmm. And some of those options, at least in terms of what Azure Active Directory supports, is a directory sync scenario, where you're synchronizing on-premises directory objects, users, groups, contacts to the cloud. And what, you know, there's two key benefits to doing so. The first benefit is reduces administrative overhead. So if we go back to that first option of just cloud-based identity, where you're provisioning your users directly in Azure Active Directory, there is, as I mentioned, no affinity between that instance of Active Directory and whatever you maintain as your identity provider on premises. So that, yep, that tends to increase administrative overhead. Whereas a directory sync scenario, where you're pushing your objects, your users, your groups, and your contacts to the cloud, you're reducing that overhead. And then once it's been set up, you can also manage directory objects from your on-prem Active Directory, and those changes will be synchronized to your tenant in Azure AD. So your users in that case won't need to necessarily use a different username to access cloud and on-premises resources. They would need, in that case, to use a different password, which takes us to the next level of integration, which is directory synchronization with password synchronization. And effectively, gotcha, what you're doing there is you're implementing directory synchronization. So you're synchronizing your on-prem directory objects, your users, groups, and contacts to Azure Active Directory, but you're also synchronizing their password. And the beauty of that type of scenario is that users will have a common set of credentials they use to access on-premises and cloud services. However, they're still going to be prompted for credentials when they traverse the firewall and access cloud services, which, you know, takes us to the next level of integration with Azure Active Directory, which is directory sync with single sign-on. So in this case, it provides the most seamless authentication experience as they access the cloud services while logged onto their corporate network. So in order to do that, what you need to be able to do is you need to deploy a security token service on premises, such as ADFS. Once that's set up, your users can use their Active Directory corp credentials, their username and password, to access services in the cloud and their existing on-premises resources without the authentication prompt. So that's the SSO scenario. And obviously, it takes a little bit more infrastructure because you do need to have an STS on-premises, which can be ADFS, but there is more infrastructure necessary. And then lastly, you also have multi-force directory sync with single sign-on.
Gotcha. So it's kind of like it's a series of steps as they get more complicated, right? So the most basic example is you just have a completely separate Azure AD and Office 365 system with different usernames and different passwords, which might be sort of a bit easier for, you know, small outfits to set up. And then you kind of step up to when you've got AD on-prem and you can set up some of that directory synchronization, then you might add, you know, password hash to that to make sure that you've got the same username and password. And then you might step up even further in kind of the more complex scenarios when you've got to deploy some additional infrastructure on the edge of your network to do the whole federated authentication and with ADFS and that sort of thing. So it's kind of the step-up model.
Right. Effectively, you can look at it as a step-up model. You can start with a pure directory synchronization scenario, and then over time, you can move towards a directory sync with password sync scenario. In the cases that I've seen, most organizations will start with a dir sync and password sync scenario and then step up to single sign-on. Obviously, a federation services scenario requires a bit of planning in order to implement. If you don't have the infrastructure, there's going to be a little more work required to get an ADFS or an SSO scenario established. So what we've seen a lot of organizations do as a very quick on-ramp to the cloud, start with directory sync with password sync. The users can use their corporate credentials and the associated password in order to access cloud services, despite having a second logon prompt when they do traverse the firewall. And then in parallel, what they tend to do is plan out their SSO scenario and establish their STS, which again could be ADFS. So we've seen organizations do that as a step-up methodology to do one piece initially and then work in parallel. If they don't have an established federation services plan within their organization, and then obviously more complexity begins to be derived from multi-forest scenarios. And again, a multi-forest scenario, you can use it with single sign-on. You can still provide a seamless authentication experience while logged onto their corporate network. However, in this case, what you're dealing with is you're dealing with multi-forest. And that's relatively new as you think about what we've historically supported in the past. So as we first implemented our cloud services play, particularly in the identity space, most organizations at the time were relegated to a single forest synchronization scenario. And now we've been able to open up multi-forest DIR sync with single sign-on.
Nice, nice. It sounds like a ton of different options there. That's cool.
Yeah. So, and a lot of those options, Bill, I mean, if you correct me if I'm wrong, but a lot of them sound, they're very enterprise-ish. I mean, they're very big companies and that have, you know, a very established AD and stuff like that. Let me ask you a little bit about like some, you're on like the small business side, one thing that I've seen a lot of people run into, at least from the small business or the really small customers. It's one that hits me too, but I mean, I'm just a single person shop. But for those of us that you create like create an Office 365 account and we weren't tying it to any kind of a Active Directory on-prem or anything, but everybody took their primary domains and they sent them over to Office 365 for all their email and stuff like that. And one of the challenges that I see some people run into is when they've used, like, say, their primary work account as their, what we used to know as a Live ID, now is a Microsoft account. So, like, for me, mine's going to be one on my, you know, at Andrew Connell domain, but that's also where all my email goes. And so when I go to sign into Office 365, you know, I type in my email address and it asks me, do you have an organizational account or do you have a Microsoft account? And I can pick either one. I know that if I want to use 365, I have to pick the organizational account, even though it's the exact same login and sign on that I use for both of the accounts. Now I don't think it's the exact same account. It's just, I happen to use the same username and password on both of them, which I know breaks everything that we know about, you know, all the password good rules and all that stuff. But can you explain kind of how that piece works where you've got like Microsoft accounts and then organizational accounts and if there's any kind of a tie between the two or if there's a path to where customers that want to go say that, you know, I want to be able to have my organizational account be the primary or map them or anything or?
Right. So if you think about organizational accounts versus something like a live ID, there is a differentiating factor between them. In some cases, an organizational account could be an extension of your network in many of those cases. So if you think about that case, an organizational account in the context of Office 365 could be an extension of your network by virtue of what we just talked about, directory synchronization or ADFS. In other cases, an organizational account can be the account that you use to establish your service and provision those subsequent users, whereas a live account differs in the fact that there is no organizational entity established or tied to that account. We see live accounts as more of a personalization experience that you would use for services, other cloud-based services such as Xbox, Windows Phone, whereas you would use your organizational account to derive business-level functionality from services such as Office 365. And if tying them together, they're maintained in the cloud as two separate entities, but they can be used to access an individual service. So a great example of which is with Windows Azure, I use either A, my organizational account, or B, my Microsoft account, my live account. I can use wbarrett microsoft.com, or I can use wbarrettlive.com to access my Azure instances. However, those two accounts, while they provide me access to the same service, they're maintained as two distinct entities or two discrete entities. So there's nothing done to map the two together or to establish a connection between the two. It's very similar to the case of adding your live account to Windows when your machine's joined to a corporate domain. So what you would do is you would access your Windows client machine using your corporate account, and then you can add your Microsoft account to expose services that you subscribe to through that account to your machine itself. But there's no, like I said, they're both discrete entities, and there's no user mapping that establishes a relationship between the two, particularly in that space.
I see. Okay, that does make sense. I mean, when you sit there and when you look at having an organizational account being much more on the business side, and the Microsoft account being more on the personalization side, or more of the, I guess, the stuff that you would do at home, where the organizational account is the stuff that you would do in the office, that kind of stuff. So that's a good way to describe it. Another question that I wanted to ask you is that, you know, with everything, with all the accounts that you're creating in Office 365, and they're going into this the Azure Active Directory for each one of our accounts. Do we have, or each one of our Office 365 subscriptions? Do we also have a way to be able to use that directory inside custom applications that people wanted to provide some sort of authentication? For example, if they built a SharePoint cloud hosted app and they want that site that's living over in Windows Azure as an Azure website to provide a more seamless experience between their 365 investment and now the site that lives over in Azure, they can set that up, or can they set that up, that authentication up on the website to use the Azure Active Directory, so it provides a similar kind of a single sign-on for customers?
Sure, yeah. If you think about it, you know, much like Active Directory on-premises or behind the firewall serves as an organization's data store for identity, Windows Azure ID provides a repository for all of your organization's data in the cloud. So it's readily available to any of the services that you may have subscribed to with your tenant. But if you think about it, similar to how like a line of business application might use LDAP to access data in your local Active Directory, and a pretty good example of which is if you think about like the user profile service application, the way that it accesses your local Active Directory on premises with SharePoint, with Azure Active Directory, third-party cloud apps can interact with it through the Graph API. So there's an opportunity there, at least from a development purpose, to enable programmatic access to Azure Active Directory through the REST API endpoints that the Graph provides to you. So the Windows Azure AD Graph can be leveraged in order to provide those type of experiences. So developers, you know, you can execute, create, read, update, and delete. So basically your CRUD operations on AD objects, such as users and groups. You can also leverage it to provide a seamless authentication experience as well. So that's, you know, one of your options could be that. So Graph, you know, again, it provides a number of different things. You have your REST API endpoints, so you can consume it in your applications. You have AD authentication, so you can execute any of the available operations through the Graph, providing that you've pre-authenticated. And then you also can do stuff like role-based authorization, which is extremely popular. So role-based access control is something, at least in the SharePoint space, that's always been something that organizations are looking to implement, have a lot of questions about, or for experimentation purposes or trying to implement something to provide a richer level of authorization experiences for users.
Oh, very cool. Very cool. That clears up a lot of the stuff that I know. I get those questions all the time about people wanting to build custom apps and take advantage of the investment that they have, that 365 has made with Active Directory and with all the synchronization stuff within their custom stuff. So that, I think that should really help some people.
Nice. So I've got another question for you. Shifting things on a little bit from Azure AD, I mean, we talked a little bit about some of the dir sync, you know, the ability to synchronize your on-prem AD to Azure AD, and that sort of seems, you know, partially on-prem and partially in the cloud. So does that kind of fall into what you'd call in your hybrid bucket when you said some of your responsibilities there? And what are some of the other things that kind of fall into that hybrid category that you look after and shed a little light on what Microsoft considers hybrid, some of the most common and popular hybrid scenarios?
Yeah, as I you know, think about it, and particularly it was a good way to start the conversation to start with identity and to start with Azure Active Directory, because one of the most fundamental aspects of any hybrid scenario begins with an identity story. And if you think about what hybrid isn't necessarily the cloud-based identity play, which obviously, as I've mentioned before, has no affinity with on-premises, so they're two discrete identity entities. Hybrid identity starts with that first-level directory synchronization scenario where you're taking those on-premises Active Directory objects, the users, groups, and the contacts, and synchronizing them with Windows Azure Active Directory. So now effectively what you've done is Azure Active Directory has become an extension of your network. So that provides the basis for implementing further hybrid capabilities within the product itself. So moving into that,
what's the most popular kind of next? So I think a hybrid identity is probably going to be the most popular first step, right? What's the sort of the next cab off the rank, so to speak, in terms of what people are most likely to hook up in a hybrid scenario?
Yeah, from what we've seen with the customers that have implemented hybrid scenarios, typically the first phase of their hybrid investments begins with what we call a one-way outbound search topology. And what that means, or at least in what that enables, is an organization to return query results from SharePoint Online to their on-premises enterprise search center. So effectively, that's the scenario that we call query federation. So a user specifies a query. That query is sent both to their local and remote index, the local index obviously being the content crawled by their on-premises crawler, and the remote index being the content that they've stored in SharePoint Online. And they use that as their first step to kind of rationalize and aggregate information that's distributed across on-prem and online. And that's a one-way outbound scenario. And the reason that there's a great deal of popularity with that scenario is many of the more rich hybrid scenarios, such as two-way scenarios, require a higher level identity management or identity federation scenario, such as ADFS. And they also require implementation of additional devices, such as a reverse proxy, in order to manage the endpoints. However, with a one-way outbound search topology, you can use it with directory synchronization, preferably with password sync, and then you can expose information that users are storing in the cloud through your on-premises search results. And obviously, it's going to be returned as a separate result block. And then another reason that's kind of driving organizations in that direction is with OneDrive for Business. So as an organization start to evaluate enterprise file share and sync scenarios, they've found an opportunity to redirect users OneDrive for Business to Office 365. And they want to be able to rationalize the information. They want to be able to have visibility into what their users are creating in the cloud. And that first and most seamless, friction-free step is to implement a hybrid search scenario, particularly the one-way outbound.
Yeah, that makes sense, right? Because you don't want to end up in a situation where you have to go to two places to search, right? That kind of defeats the point of search.
Absolutely.
Gotcha. So I guess, first we had identity, then comes search. Just in summary of some of the other areas that you're seeing people looking into hybrid, if you could just rattle off a quick or a short or long list, depending on what you got, on kind of some of the other scenarios people look at from a hybrid, just from a rough sort of outline of what people are doing and where you see, sort of the next set of cabs off the rank in terms of hybrid. Mm-hmm. Probably not the most popular or the most most common scenarios, but maybe some of the other things people are looking at.
Yeah, so obviously what we just discussed, the one-way outbound topology, particularly with search, is one of the most popular topologies implemented by customers today, largely because it is friction-free. It's pretty quick to implement. It doesn't take a lot of effort or resource or infrastructure. As we move from there, some of the most common, or at least as we work our way down the scale in terms of what our customers tend to implement, is many of them will move, depending on necessity, from an outbound topology to an inbound topology. And the reason you would do that is an inbound topology, not only does it enable SharePoint Online to expose search results from your on-premises investment, but it also enables our next breed of hybrid scenarios, which is business connectivity services. So suppose the bulk or predominant investment that you have is in SharePoint Online, and you have line of business applications that reside on premises, and they could be any number of applications that have an OData endpoint exposed. Customers want to be able to leverage that information within their tenant. So they'll move to an inbound topology so they can consume through business connectivity services. Another great example of that would be Duet for Enterprise. And then as we move our way down, we leave what we call the hybrid stack, and we move our way into the coexistence stack. And the coexistence stack would be the OneDrive for Business scenario, or replacing the SharePoint news feed with Yammer to facilitate social networking type scenarios. So we have a set of hybrid scenarios that are inclusive of search, business connectivity services, and Duet for Enterprise. And then we have a set of coexistence scenarios, which are defined by OneDrive for Business, redirection to Office 365, as well as Yammer as your core social network for use with SharePoint.
Gotcha. Oh, that's a nice spectrum. And I guess as companies get more sophisticated in their use, and they can start obviously with identity and then kind of ramp up to search and then maybe off into BCS when they start building some lob integration, and then off into coexistence when they want to get a little more sophisticated.
Right. What we've done is we've built it to provide a step up type scenario. So beginning with identity, you can begin with just a fundamental synchronization scenario, and then you can step up into more rich and robust scenarios that provide the most seamless kind of auth Z and auth N experience. Then you can step into the SharePoint hybrid scenarios. You can begin with a very easy outbound search topology, work your way into inbound topologies with business connectivity services. So we've made it to where you can step up into these hybrid scenarios. So you never kind of build yourself behind a wall. There's always a path to derive more richness from your hybrid scenarios. And then obviously, as we move forward from a product perspective, we're continuing to invest in our hybrid scenarios. At the SharePoint conference, we announced that we're looking at scenarios inclusive of remote index. So the ability to go beyond what we call query federation to actually having a unified result set as part of search, and hopefully that'll help facilitate a hybrid office graph, codename Oslo type scenario as we think about the
future.
That'd
be awesome. That'd be very cool.
Yeah, that is very cool. This has been very helpful for me personally, I know. So I'm definitely hoping that it'll clear up a lot of stuff and for our listeners as well. So Bill, we really appreciate you taking the time and going over some of the identity questions and identity overview of how identity works with Office 365 and Azure Active Directory, as well as giving us a good understanding of how the hybrid scenario works with Office 365 and how people can step up. So that was a really, really good discussion, if I don't say so. Yeah.
Yeah, no, thanks very much, Bill. It's great to have you on the show, and thanks for answering our newbie hybrid and identity questions.
Yeah. Thanks for having me on. I wish we could have gone a lot deeper, but hopefully it does help some people gain some fundamental understanding of the way that we think about Azure AD and its relationship to Office 365, as well as, you know, stepping into further hybrid investments between SharePoint and Office 365.
Cool.
Awesome. Well, thank you very much again. And, you know, like you said, you know, this is a topic I know, especially both the topics we talked about today with identity and with hybrid. They're two topics that, like you said, we can go a heck of a lot deeper. So for everybody that's listening to the episode, if you're interested in going deeper, if you've got specific questions, you want to dive deeper, we can always try and get Bill back and do a deeper discussion on kind of going deep silo into one of these topics here. So just leave a question. We've got ways on our website to submit a question to the show. We'll always prefer it if you can record your question and then send us a link to the WAV file that you've recorded so that we can download it and include your question in the show. So
yeah,
I guess with that, we'll go ahead and do a wrap up. And just again, thank you very much, Bill, for taking the time to spend some time on our show with us.
Yeah, absolutely. And if there are any follow-up questions, let me know.
Cheers, Bill.
Thanks.
If you have a question for us, go to microsoftcloudshow.com/questions. Where you can submit it as text, or record it as a WAV or an MP3 file, and provide a link so that we can play your question on the show. You can subscribe to us in iTunes by searching for the Microsoft Cloud Show, or via RSS at microsoftcloudshow.com. where you'll also find a full transcript and show notes of each episode. You can find us on Facebook searching for the Microsoft Cloud Show or on Twitter at MS Cloud Show. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.